All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
That was All the Way from Praise for the Lord.
Good morning. I'm Tim McHenry, and this is your Sunday morning radio sermon brought to you by the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. The worship times for the Mount Gilead Church are 9:30 a.m. for Sunday school, 10 o'clock is around about the time we start Sunday morning worship, 6 p.m. for Sunday evening worship, and we have a midweek Bible study at 7 p.m. Want to invite every one of you out to come to all the services of the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. This morning, I would like for us to study on transgression of the law. And I want you to think about it in this way. You know, back in the early days of the country, there was a time in which people really wondered what our Constitution should be like. Some of the early fathers of our country, they debated back and forth about how powerful the federal government was supposed to be and whether or not it could do or couldn't do certain things like tax in certain ways and so on and so forth. How much power the states would have, how much power the federal government would have, and they went back and forth with these arguments. As an example of the kind of things that they would argue about, they would say, well, we've got an opportunity to purchase a large tract of land out here, like when they made the Louisiana Purchase. Land that was bought off of the French, all the way down from Louisiana, going up through the Great Midwest. And people were wondering, well, should we buy it or not? And President Jefferson wondered, well, you know, should this be bought or should it not be bought? Does the government really have the right to go out and purchase land like that? Because he had a hard time finding anywhere that it actually said he could do such a thing. And people wondered, well, how far then can the federal government go? Nowadays, we found out that they've gone so far, we wish they had dialed it back a little bit. But back then, they were very concerned about going too far. Well, when people approach the Bible, I wish they had that kind of attitude, don't you? Where they wondered, well, have I gone too far? Let me see what God wants. But in people's desire to do what they want to do, we have stopped looking for a Thus Saith the Lord book, chapter, and verse is no longer something that people demand, but instead is something that, well, it's a rarity sometimes, at least among some people's hearing, when they listen to the gospel among so-called preachers. Where is the book, chapter, and verse? Where is the Bible that we all need in order to keep our lives straight and to serve God faithfully? If you look into the scriptures, you find that there's a great deal of direction to be had from them. Everything profitable for life and godliness, it's all here. So why can we not consult the Bible? Does the Bible not say concerning it in 1 Peter in chapter 3 in verse 15 that we're to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and take Christ as Lord, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear? Take that word of God. Use it. It gives you a reason for living. It gives you a hope that you can share with other people. But how can you share it if you don't know your Bibles? A lot of people, though, are not interested in the direction of the law. Instead, they want to know, how much further can I take it? How much can I get away with? Being ignorant of both church history and transgression in the Bible, people go about to establish their own law and their own way. But this isn't really the way of God. I'm going to give you several examples, some in and some out of the Bible, and let us see how God approaches people keeping His law and what attitude we should have about transgression of the law. In Genesis chapter 6, the familiar story of Noah building an ark according to the directions of God is given to us. In Genesis 6, verse 14, God said, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch." What if Noah decided, "You know, God, I hear what you're saying about that ark, and I think it's a good idea to build the ark too, but, you know, I think that I want to put some, good old-fashioned oak paneling here and there. And this part over here, I think if we're going to put pitch around that, that it might be better to have a lighter type wood than gopher wood, and something has a little bit different consistency or grain to it." And so he starts making it according to his own specifications and way. Now, would he be doing what Noah wants or what God says? After all, he could say, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to use a lot of gopher wood, God. I'm going to do a whole lot of that. But I just kind of want, you know, to make the rooms and different parts of it kind of the way I want to do it." A lot of people are doing that in religion today. When God says to worship Him in a certain way, they'll say, "Oh, yeah, I want to do it that way, God. But I also want to do some other things, too." But they're not paying attention that when God specifies, then He prohibits doing it some other way, the way we would like. We're supposed to do it the way God likes. Let's say that a mom sends out little Johnny. Little Johnny is supposed to go out and get milk and bread at the grocery store. So she gives him some money and she says, "Johnny, I want you to go out and I want you to get milk and bread." Well, little Johnny goes out and he gets himself some milk and bread, but he also buys a big fistful of candy and he ruins his supper, comes back home. Is his mama supposed to be happy about that? "Well, I got your milk and bread." "Yes, but you also did some other things that I did not give you permission to do. And now look what you've done. You've ruined your supper." Well, a lot of times, people in the religious world are just like little Johnny. They think they can fly off the handle and do pretty much anything they want to, as long as the Bible doesn't say, "Thou shalt not." But for those who want to please God, the question is not, does the Bible say, "Thou shalt not?" The question is, when it comes to this activity, what does God want me to do, period? If He wants me to be busy doing this, if I stop doing it and start doing something else, I'm no longer pleasing to the Lord. Another example from the Bible. In Leviticus chapter 10, in verses 1 and 2, there were a couple of fellows there by the name of Nadab and Abihu. These were the sons of Aaron. Each one of them took his censer. That was a thing they had back then in order to perform the sacrifices and burn things and have the offerings and whatnot for the Old Testament system. It said they put fire in the censers, and they put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. They died before the Lord simply because they took it upon themselves to either fetch fire from a strange place, that is, a place God didn't talk about, or to do things in a way that God had not said that you were to do them. Now, they could have turned back to God and said, "Well, you didn't say don't do it this way." But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that He had not commanded it. He hadn't told them they could do it that way. He had given them clear directions on how they were supposed to prepare and initiate the sacrifices and the incense offerings, but they had decided to follow their own way, their own pattern. And in doing so, they had transgressed God's law and paid an awful price. There are many other examples in the Bible. Consider Uzzah, a man in 2 Samuel chapter 6. This fellow Uzzah, it says that when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, he put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled, the ones that were carrying the ark, you see. Yeah, you can picture this in your mind. The ark of God, which back then was basically a big box-like structure, ornately carved with all kinds of gold on it and things like this, and it was being transported. Well, it was shaken. And so he put out his hand to steady the ark. I mean, he's scared about the ark of God falling and tumbling over and spilling out. That would be awful. Well, you can't let that happen to the ark of God, can you? So he puts out his hand just to steady it. He put his hand to the ark of God. Problem. God never told him that he could touch that. That was a very important item for them to use in their worship. God specifically had told people, this is how you carry it, this is who is to handle it. He never told Uzzah he could put his hand on that ark. And it doesn't matter what was going on at the time. God had told him what he was supposed to do. Now, if they'd been following God's command and had the Levites carrying it on poles instead of the oxen trying to carry it on a cart, everything would have been better anyway. But, as it was, he touches the ark, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God, because he would not follow God's command. Not that God had said, Uzzah, thou shalt not do this or that, but because God had told him exactly what he was supposed to do, and who was supposed to do it. And Uzzah was not one of them that was supposed to touch the ark. He just wasn't given permission. There are many things that we might take upon ourselves to do. But we understand that if we're working for somebody and have a certain job, we can't just take over somebody else's job and do that instead. Instead, we have to follow within the parameters of the guidelines that we are given. When God gives us His Word, He didn't leave anything out. There's nothing in there where God says, well, I didn't really keep up with the times, and you're going to have to change the gospel in order to make it fit with today in the 21st century. Well, that isn't the kind of God I serve, and that's certainly not the kind of Bible that I read. The Bible that I have in front of me keeps up with the times as they come. In fact, the fads and the tendencies of people will come and go, but the Word of God abides forever, and everything within it is just as good today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was completed. Therefore, whether it be Noah, or Nadab and Abihu, or Uzzah, or little Johnny that we were talking about before, we learn that God demands that we do things exactly in the way we're supposed to. Consider, if you will, for a moment, Moses and Aaron. In the Bible, Moses was not permitted to go into the Promised Land. Well, why wasn't he permitted? If you read in Numbers chapters 20 through 27, you find that Moses took it upon himself to strike the rock on a certain occasion, and in his anger, God punished him by not letting him into the Promised Land. You say, what's so bad about striking a rock? Well, normally, nothing really, but God didn't tell him that's the way he was supposed to do it. God told him before to speak to the rock. Well, Moses spoke all right, but he also did some striking, and in anger, God saw that he needed to be punished and humbled. Therefore, that's exactly what God did. The Lord will not put up with disobedience. The attitude that we have toward it is all important, because you are going to disobey. I will too. It's just a plain fact of life. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So the attitude that a Christian has toward God's Word, whether or not they're willing just to jump right in there and do whatever it is that they want, or whether or not we follow exactly what God says, this is a big point. Our attitude should be formed by passages like Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 8. You shall not all do as we are doing here today, the Bible says. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. God has always hated that. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32 now says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Let me give you a modern worship day example. It is time for the Lord's Supper, called in some religious circles the communion. As people are about to take of that communion or Lord's Supper, let's say that I were to put upon the Lord's Supper table, some chicken and biscuits. What's wrong with that, you might say? God's Word didn't say that we could put them on there. And if there are some of you out there listening this morning to the program, and you say, I see that. You couldn't add that kind of thing to the Lord's Supper table. It's supposed to be unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, just like the Bible talks about. Aha! There you've got the point. You just do what God says that He wants. If you go beyond that, there's no telling what all kinds of sins you might commit. Just do what the Lord says, and He'll be happy. Now, I want to draw a distinction here also between things that you do and just plain old things. Certainly, chicken and biscuit is mighty good when it comes to you on the supper table. But it is not the same as being in the worship assembly at the Lord's Supper. That is a time of memorial that God has given specific instructions about. Certainly, there is nothing wrong with enjoying a nice song. And the beautiful words that are in the song, the wonderful beat that it's put to, and sometimes that'll really get your blood moving and you enjoy listening to a good song. It doesn't mean that song is appropriate, though, for the worship time. And there are many examples of that kind of thing from the Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, it is said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Since we don't have it within us to take care of everything ourselves, to know how we ought to behave and what we ought to do, then we need to make sure that we follow God's word exactly. Now, many times we take this for granted. That is, that when nobody says anything, that we're supposed to leave it alone. Pretend, for example, this morning, that you're in the middle of church. As you're sitting there in church, then let's say there's a very important phone call that came in, and it was so important that church had to be interrupted. Someone were to stand up and make the announcement and say, Brother Smith, I'll just pick a name, you've got a phone call. Now, does the person have to say to every other one in the assembly, Sister Smith, you do not have a phone call. Brother Jones, you do not have a phone call. Sister Jones, you do not have a phone call. No, he doesn't have to do that. It's enough that he just says, here is the person who got the phone call. Everybody else knows that they're excluded. All right, when God says in his word, this is what I want you to do, then why do we feel the need to add anything to that? We all agree that there are many good things in God's word. Let's just do those things then that we all agree on. You agree that it's good to believe on Jesus Christ as God's Son? We agree on that together? Then let's do that. And on down the line we can go. Sometimes, though, people want to go beyond what is written, beyond those things in the Bible. And when we do that, we transgress God's law. All we want to do in the churches of Christ is demand of Thus Saith the Lord, book, chapter, and verse, for what we say, for what we do in religion. And in 2 John, starting at verse 9, the Bible says if we don't do that, if we don't demand of Thus Saith the Lord, we don't have God. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God, it says. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. This goes right along with Colossians 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The principle of not adding to or taking away from is just as binding today as it ever was in God's eyes. He demands that even in this modern day and age, we keep our worship as simple, plain, and heartfelt as it was back in the Bible days. Otherwise, how do we know it's pleasing to God? He demands that we do things in the name of the Lord. Can a policeman stop you for no particular reason? Let's say he just says, well, I don't like the way you look. And he stops you down the road, and you ask him, well, do you have any reason for stopping me? No, you're going to give me a ticket. Oh, why are you giving me a ticket? Oh, no particular reason. Just wanted to give you one. You see, he has to have the law backing him up. Now, if he tells you, I stopped you in the name of the law and told you to freeze, then we'd better do what we're told. Well, if in religion people just go off and do whatever it is that they want, it's no wonder we have all the religious confusion about us nowadays. But if we're doing things in the name of the Lord, Colossians 3, verse 17, then we will have, book, chapter, and verse, we'll have something that Jesus told us to do and guided us to do in his New Testament in order to know that it's right. Without that book, chapter, and verse, I just don't know that it's any good. I'd better leave it alone. The Bible talks to us on different occasions about adding to those things that are written. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul talks about how that these things, brethren, I figuratively transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. To stay with exactly what God gives us to do is to show the greatest of love that we could possibly show toward the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. I love God so much that I want to do exactly what he says. Is there anything wrong with that? No, that's the greatest thing in the world. 1 Corinthians 4, 6 says, you want to stick with what God says? Just follow what's written. Do not think beyond what is written, that none of you be puffed up for one against the other. If I make my own way of salvation, if I make my own way of worship, if I live for God according to Tim's rule of life, then I surely will stumble into sin because I don't know what's best. But if I recognize that He does know what's best, and that He has written for me everything that I need in this life, in the Bible, then I can follow it with full confidence. I can have respect for Jesus Christ, that He will lead me, and that He is the head of His church. Is it wrong to love God so much that you want to do exactly what He says? No. His commandments are not grievous, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. And it is the love of God that we keep His commandments. Respect for Jesus as the head of His church demands that we follow His way, Colossians 1 verses 16 through 18. He is the head, the Bible says there in verse 18. Therefore we follow whatever direction He gives us. How are we to treat God's word? To sum it up, in Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse 18, the Bible says this: I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part from the book of life, and from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Therefore, let us not make up our own book, as some people have in the past. Some people did it overtly when they made up the Book of Mormon, or the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, or, different people like that. Other people, though, it seems, are following their own heart, their own mind, their own will. And in doing so, they likewise sin against the Lord. It is the same as if they had written down and had come up with their own book named after themselves and said, here's my Bible, here's my way. But we don't know the best way. Instead, it is up to God to guide us and lead us, and I place my full trust in Him to show me how that I'm supposed to live and show me how I'm supposed to preach. What's the point, then, of this lesson? There are different catchphrases and different ways in which I hope for you to remember what I say to you this morning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Try to do exactly as He says. There is no book but the Bible. There is no creed but the Christ. There is no church but Christ's church. There is no way but His way. Doing Bible things in Bible ways, calling Bible things by Bible names. This is the restoration plea, preached throughout the United States of America from the frontier days and preached in the world for around 2,000 years now, starting on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Our Lord Himself said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8 verse 32. When He made that statement, He didn't say, well, you shall each one have your own opinions. You shall have your own ways. And each one of those ways or opinions shall give rise to a diversity of doctrines and Bibles. We have one Bible. We have one truth. Oh, that's so narrow-minded, somebody will say today. Like Pilate, they would respond with the question, what is truth? And act as if the Bible doesn't settle anything. Oh, I'm not interested in a Bible study, somebody might say. Why, you can prove anything from the Bible, I deny it. If you can prove any old thing from the Bible, then that just means the Bible is a worthless book. Why do you have one in your homes? But if all of us together accept the Bible as God's Word, then perhaps spending a little more time with it would produce more unity than what people seem to think it would. If we would spend more time studying on the Bible together, then we're going to make progress. I don't say that because I'm so persuasive or you're so persuasive and I think you might win me over to some way of thinking. I say that because all people can come to a knowledge of the truth. Ye shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth shall make you free. So what is truth? The Bible says, thy word is truth. What does the word say? The word tells us, in belief and obedience unto the gospel, that we should all live righteously, soberly, in this present life, so that we might serve God in being guided by His grace, the way of Jesus Christ, know that heaven is ours in the end. As Christians, we all can answer the call for Christian unity. Will you become free today and stand for Christian unity? Will you take a stance with the Bible and the Bible alone and say that it is a book for all ages, that it is something that cannot be added to or taken away from, that after the book of Revelation closed, that there was nothing else that was needed? Everything that we need in order to live right is contained within the pages of this good book. Now, for some who believes that that takes the heart out of Christianity and results in people not really knowing that they have a heartfelt religion, well, I simply deny it. Being somebody who is studious in God's Word doesn't mean that you throw the heart out of religion. Oh, a fella says, I'm not much into that book stuff. I'll kind of leave that up to you all that like to read and study and whatnot. Just give me that old-time religion. Well, if the old-time religion is as old as the Bible itself and goes back to that Bible teaching, good and fine. But if it doesn't, then that's just another way of adding to God's Word. Many of the things that we've sung about and that we've taken for granted as being a good thing might not be that good at all. Most of the time in the Bible, the word tradition is spoken of, it seems, in a bad way. Jesus would talk about how that the scribes and Pharisees held to the traditions of men. Read Matthew chapter 15. That didn't make them good ways, because it was adding to what God said that he wanted, or taking away from something that he said he wanted them to do. But when I follow exactly the Bible, then I know that I'm doing well, even if Mama and Dad didn't follow that way. Now, that's a hard thing for people. Some of them think that to follow after that kind of head religion is just for folks who are in the Church of Christ. Not so. It's for all people. The Bible speaks to everyone upon all the face of the earth. Some perhaps seem to think that, I can't go against my upbringing. Can you think for yourself, though? Doesn't God teach us that each one will stand individually before God at the time of judgment to answer for the deeds done in the body? And they were judged according to their works. Isn't what the Bible teaches there in that last book, the book of Revelation? So each one of us, then, is responsible before God to choose that good way. Are you choosing to stand with the Bible? Are you neither adding to nor taking away from? Once again, Moses told them, "You shall not do it all as we hear doing here this day, every man whatever is right in his own eyes. Instead, when God looks down upon us, let him be made happy to see us serving him in truthfulness and faithfulness. Let him see the love of Jesus Christ within our hearts. Recognizing what he has done for us in giving himself for us upon the cross, let us dedicate ourselves that we will neither add to nor take away from his word. We'll live for him according to his way. We will worship him according to his pattern. Why? Because we love the Lord so much, and we love the praise of God more than the praise of men. There are awful consequences for adding to or taking away from God's word. Let's make sure that we stick with exactly what God wants us to do. I am convinced if you will come and visit with us and worship with us at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, you will find that only what you find in the Bible is done there in the worship. You will find that we stand for the Bible way of living and Bible principles of preaching and teaching His Word and spreading the gospel to everyone who will hear. Come and worship with us, and it'll do us all good together, because we all just want to follow God's Word, and we can help each other then go to heaven. Come, therefore, worship with us, visit with us. You'll receive a warm welcome each and every single time that you see us at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to this program. Tune in again, please, next week. I'm Tim McHenry.